Hey, welcome to episode 142 of Revisiting Sunnydale. I'm Camila.
I'm Marcella. Hello.
Thank you for watching and listening to our show. We very much appreciate you and all that you do to help us contribute to this Buffy fandom.
Yes, I was stuck.
Yeah, I mean,
I was trapped in equipment.
This is kind of, it happens, and I'm still trying to perfect the setup because I have to take it down every time, and I can't just leave it up. That's problematic.
I need to get that colorful tape that they use in real productions and mark things.
Yeah.
So I remember the next time I set things. I'm like, I wanted to do this all over again.
It's like, I don't want to. It's tough being a creator.
It is.
So if you would like to help contribute to our plight, we are on Patreon. And you can find us at patreon.com/revisitingsunnydale if you want to help us monetarily to kind of keep us motivated to keep this thing going. We're almost done.
Mm-hmm. Almost there.
Well, yeah, so before I get, you will help us monetarily, but we will also give you some stuff as well, including a video, the video of this podcast.
Yes.
So if you're just listening to it on, you know, Spotify, iTunes, or wherever, which is also great for freebies.
We're in your ears.
Yes, exactly. you could be watching us.
You could see our faces.
Right. And,
and we're in public. We're like in person.
We're sitting next to each other. Yes. It's not just the good old fashioned like Zoom and you know over the internet. Even though most of that's what we've been doing the past 2 years, as most people.
It gets it done. It gets it done. Yeah. You don't feel like putting pants on.
Right, exactly. And more than likely, it's going to go back to that once the snow hits.
Yep.
So we're trying to get in as many of these in person as possible before Pennsylvania winters
shuts down.
I know, because we are both the same. Where it's like,
no, there's no social event. That would get me out of my house.
Going nowhere.
No. I'll see. We hibernate.
Right.
We literally are bears. And now with Instacart, I don't even have to leave my house for groceries.
So if I haven't done it in the past, I like to publicly thank whoever invented Instacart.
Yes. And I would like to publicly thank is my own personal shopper. I realized the other day I've had the same woman 17 times.
Really?
Yes.
I have never had the same person twice.
17 times.
Wow.
She has delivered my food, so thank you.
Wow.
Yes.
That's amazing. Now you've got
and she's always good, too.
That's awesome to end up with that.
Yeah.
I mean, luckily I haven't had any like major malfunctions, but a couple hiccups here or there, but for the most part, everyone's been great. So if you are an Instacart driver or DoorDash or Grubhub or Uber Eats, bless you.
Yes, we thank you.
Bless you.
We thank you.
Seriously. So any hoozles, back to that. Listen to the podcast, subscribe, like, review, share, tell your friends about us. We love that.
Yeah.
We also love hearing from you. And you can do that on Facebook at Revisiting Sunnydale, Twitter at Back to Sunnydale, Instagram at RVS_podcast. And you can also send us an email, revisitingsunnydale@gmail.com.
Yeah.
And videos too. Yeah.
Lots of ways. If there's a way, we have it.
So, and we're almost done with Buffy altogether.
Yes.
Not just the season. We're almost done with the whole thing. Because
we are not doing the comic.
Nope. Season 7, episode 16, Storyteller. Welcome, gentle viewers.
This is definitely top 5 favorite episodes.
Yeah. So I'd like to point out the original air date was my birthday, February 25th, 2003. Awesome. That must have been an amazing birthday gift for me back then. Happy birthday, past Camila. This was written by Jane Ebsenson, directed by Marta Grabiak.
Which is a name I don't think we have ever heard before.
I don't think so.
Ever, which thanks for giving us this delightful gem of an episode.
Thanks, Marita. I think I probably said Marta, but it was Marita. Marita Grabiak. Thanks, because
this is one of our faves.
So Andrew creates a documentary called Buffy, the Slayer of the Vampires, a record of the current situation in Sunnydale to show the future generations, which is smart. He manages to capture many important moments and to annoy almost everyone in the house, but Buffy needs to tear him away from his filmmaking because the seal of Dan Zulfar is active, and Andrew may hold the key to closing it before it destroys the town. Important guest stars and co-stars Tom Link as Andrew, Ariana as Sarah Hagen as Amanda, Danny Strong as Jonathan, D.B. Woodside as Robin Wood, Adam Bush as Warren, and Indigo as Rona.
Rona doesn't really say anything in this episode, but she has my favorite moment in the episode.
Which
and
is?
It's your burn. I don't even think Rona's? You see her when it happens.
No.
I don't. Okay.
So yeah, so we start off with like old school. What is it called? Like the
It's Bach. So it's there's no music in this episode except for Bach, which is playing at the very beginning.
But what is it? It's like mysteries, like music,
masterpiece theater.
Yes, masterpiece theater, like that setup. You know, Andrew's like in with a smoking with a pipe, smoking pipe. He's in a leather chair and like a room with a fireplace and just like a bookshelves of old and dusty books and stuff. Like, oh, hello, gentle viewers. You caught me catching up on some blah blah blah.
I just have to point out that Tom Lank is, we've said it before, but he's a joy. He's a treasure.
I fucking love him. Like, I love the fact that they gave him his own episode and just what he, everything that he does with it is totally worth
it. It's amazing. Like, and there's an interesting piece of trivia for this episode that this was an experiment of an episode because the show was coming to an end and they were looking for characters that could do a spinoff.
What happened? I mean, because, I wouldn't have minded a limited series spinoff for Andrew.
If this had, that's what's so sad about some of these shows that we love so much. Is if they took place now, we've got the formula down now. We've got the streaming services down for limited series for six episodes of an amazing show.
Right.
I'm still waiting for my six episodes of Faith because I'd like to know where she is right now.
Right. Yeah. Because that'd be a great, like, just let's, let's go. Okay. We're. I'm done with the Marvel Marvel Universe. We have expanded until that shit can't expand anymore. Can we just like stop for a second and then go into the Buffyverse?
I am enjoying She-Hulk though.
For a little bit. Like just a touch here and there. Like you said, like some five episodes for Faith. Five episodes for whoever is still alive. I don't even know who's left.
I don't need to reboot this show. No. It doesn't need rebooted.
Right.
We're done with reboots. That was hot for a minute.
Yeah.
We liked reboots. It was great. No. I want to know where these characters are right now.
Right.
I
like
don't
age
need
and all.
We see that this is just Andrew's mind palace.
Yes. This is it. Andrew and his imagination will be our guide for this episode, which I am okay with.
Yes.
He's narrating for the most part throughout it because he's walking around with his little video camera.
Where did he get it? Did he find it in the house?
I can't imagine that the Summers had a video camera, had a camcorder.
Did he go down to the pawn shop and get, like, was he bored?
I feel like they keep letting him go back to his house and go get stuff. Like, I don't know. Like, did he have it the whole time? Like, because he didn't have, like, when Willow snatched him up at the butcher shop, he had nothing.
Right,
it wasn't
coat.
It wasn't like a knapsack. He had a knapsack.
Right.
With him.
And yet later in the episode, they talk about going through his stuff.
Yeah.
He doesn't have stuff.
What stuff?
And if he's going back to his house and getting stuff, he's not a prisoner. He's a guest.
He's literally not a hostage in any shape or form. He's just a guest at this point. Like, dude's just hanging out. So he's in the bathroom making this video. So it's the only room with some privacy. And, you know, Anya's like trying to get him to come out and he's telling her, trying to explain what he's doing. And she's like, you know, not really on board, not feeling it. And then he's like, he gets up and he's like, well, I was going to interview you. And like flatters her. And
okay.
And this is a weird, like, it's not weird. I don't know, but there is something happening in this moment between Anya and Andrew. I don't know if Andrew is flirting with her because, I mean,
I think a best friendship was formed right then and there. Like, I think,
gotcha.
I think he kind of, he's always had this thing, like this. Even when they caught her and Spike on camera, he was, you know.
Yeah.
He's always kind of been fascinated by Anya.
Right.
But I think it's like not her little bunny because she hates bunnies, but like her little kitten.
Right.
You know, something in her wants to protect his stupid little butt. And she, spoiler alert, it will literally be the worst thing ever.
Yeah. So there is some sort of chemistry?
Bonding.
Yeah, bonding. There's a definite bond there. But the way that he's like looking her up and down, I don't know if he's just trying to figure her out or, you know, he's just really digging in on the flattery. Because we know that Tom Lank is gay. It's never been fully outright said that Andrew is, but it's
not until the comics, I think.
Oh, really?
I
think it's like pretty kind of blatant with how much his love of Warren is more than just, you know, admiring him.
And that's why I think he just adores Anya. Because even later in the video, he's rewatching that one.
Yeah. Like a soap opera.
Yes. And he attacks Xander. Like, he goes after Xander specifically with that question.
Right. Yes. You know? Okay. Well, yeah. That's
so I think he just has a little fascination of her.
Very interesting. And Andrew comes back with his whiteboard, mm-hmm. and he gives a nice little comprehensive explanation of what's been going on thus far. He's got, you know.
They leave him alone too much. Imagine how much time went into right. him drawing this board.
Right? There was
a
like
lot of color and shading.
Very detailed the first.
Yes.
And Sunnydale and the Hellmouth mm-hmm. and the high school and the Bringers.
Yep. Now, we learn very quickly shortly after this that Buffy has some very long speeches that she continues giving. So maybe during one of those long speeches, he was just sitting there coloring the whole time.
He just excuses himself every time she goes at it, which, yeah. I'm here for it, Andrew.
Mm-hmm.
So they're all gathered in the kitchen now. It's breakfast. And this, I don't know if it's just because it's early, but these girls are just really shitty. Like, I don't like... It's so unnecessary for them to be so shitty to him.
So shitty to him. And they're always shitty to him.
Right.
This isn't your house.
Right.
You don't live here.
You don't have a right,
right.
to be shitty to anybody
no.
here.
That's, you don't buy groceries.
There's
you
like
eat all the food.
18 like, different box. There's 18 different cereals.
Now, I get why Anya was initially mad at him for being in the bathroom, because this house has one bathroom.
One bathroom.
And you're in here fucking about.
Right. Like, take this shit to the basement.
Yes. Go down to Spike's room and get out of the bathroom, because this is not.
This is a high traffic area. Yeah. There's like 27 women here.
No.
You can't be in here for longer than 10 minutes. I need you out.
But your burn comes in this scene.
Which I flipping love this scene. So Andrew's in the kitchen and he's like, you know, recorded everybody. And then he's like, you know what? Now is time. And he just happens to be like right in front of Amanda. He's like, now is time. It's a good time to make some introductions. And Amanda pipes up and this is my bird. And she's like, oh, hi, I'm Amanda. He's like, oh,
not you, honey.
Not you, sweetie.
And then you hear Rona in the background go, ah! And it is, I think it, I swear it's Rona.
It's gotta be.
And it is my favorite moment in the entire episode.
I have never heard that.
It's so funny. And it's such a loud laugh.
I hope that it was like real.
Yes, like they weren't they just, expecting it.
Right, and they just decided to keep it. Because so that makes for a beautiful little bit.
And then he goes, he proceeds to introduce Buffy.
And this land, everything turns into like this Harlequin romance novel.
Like out of soap dish. It's like a moment straight.
I don't know if we just like totally dated ourselves with those references. Like there's probably young ones out here that is anybody under 20, under 30 know what we're talking about?
Probably not.
So very like windblown.
Windblown and the lights are bright and it's sunny. Spike shouldn't even be in this room if it's this sunny.
Buffy's pouring the cereal all seductively and winks at the camera. You know, Andrew gives her her intro, and then Spike rolls in shirtless. In Andrew's imagination.
You.
Yeah. Thanks, Andrew.
And he's like, Buffy and Spike have some kind of history. He doesn't quite know what it is.
It's funny because, I mean, what I also like about this episode is that there clearly are things that he doesn't know.
Yeah.
And he... kind of reference that because he talks about mm-hmm. Dawn used to be a key. He's like,
I don't know what that means.
This is clearly some shit he's heard.
Yes, he just has no frame of reference for it, and it's great because it's all from his point of view. And then he gets to this. He's like panning across, and we get to Anya, and she's eating these grapes all weird,
right off the bunch.
Right,
just like.
And then there's some random girl eating cereal, and he even says. And there's some girl.
I was like, I don't remember this young girl's name.
It's not important. And then Buffy wants to have another speech.
She's mad. She starts to go on about how Andrew is wasting time. He's not doing anything else.
Nope. And you know what he's doing? He is next-gen watchering.
Yes.
He has set up the next generation of how watchers will be.
Exactly.
Record, watch, mm-hmm. document.
Right. Exactly. This is
what a watcher would do in today's time.
Quite frankly, this shit could have been like the watchers should have started this in like 1984.
Yeah. Because then Buffy would have had
right
things to watch.
Right.
But no. But what he does do oh so well when he's telling his own stories, he keeps embellishing his stories.
So it's lovely, because this is the truth. Well, you know, like if most people are telling a story about themselves that they, or that they were involved in, you're going to more than likely beef up your
beef
part
up
a little bit.
And he beefs it up so well.
So as Buffy is going on about, she's like bitching about Andrew, and everyone kind of is in agreement. Like, yeah, Andrew, he should be recording this. If we save the world, this might be kind of awesome to have record of it. So she's like, well, I just wanted to tell you all something. And so this is when Andrew excuses himself. Yep. It's like Buffy tends to go on for a while with her little speeches. And then he starts to give his own little backstory, which involves him being a super villain.
A super villain in a suit. He's like, so cute.
Right. He's like Dr. Like, he's trying to be like Professor X or.
And he's like the head of the trio, which is definitely not what happened.
No. He's like, he's the only one in a suit in like this laboratory of like nonsense going on. Yes. And Andrew or and Jonathan and Warren are just like, oh my God, you're so awesome.
You're so cool. You're so. Oh, look at this.
And you're so handsome.
And it's, it smells kind of funny. Yes. Kind of sweaty. And it's so weird. And then he pulls it back to check and see if things are still,
right,
if Buffy's still going on. And she is. She's still going on. And even Willow is bored, and he points it out.
That usually
she's
Willow can.
She's yawning.
Right. He's like, even Willow can usually take a lot of this.
But not this time. And then we get the retelling of the Dark Willow story.
Yes. He's like, I had my own little back and forth, I had my own dealings with Willow, and again, like the story, like each story gets more and more. He gets more and more just like important and powerful, and so
emotional.
Like you all remember what actually happened between Willow and Jonathan and Andrew. Mm-hmm. That's not how Andrew tells it.
Nope.
According to Andrew, he was like, "Oh, small little girl."
So he kept calling her little one. I was like, she gonna blow you up.
It's like, if that had actually happened, sir, you would not be here to retell the tale.
You'd be a sheep on the floor. She'd have turned you into something. Like, but what I love about this is that it gave Tom, Danny, and Adam the opportunity to come back and refilm a lot of these scenes. Because they didn't need to refilm her part. They just had to film their part.
Which, great.
And Danny's little yeep when her powers are coming.
Yes, they all play it up very well. He's like, so he's cowering behind Andrew as Willow is, you know, pulling her spells on him.
It's very well edited as well, the back and forth. I love that scene. And then we get to go to Sunnydale where shit is just falling apart. But I love Buffy's walking down the hall and everything is going wrong. Like, there's just they almost go through random episodes as she's walking down the hall.
Right.
One girl starts to disappear and she's like, oh my God, no, and slaps the shit out of
her. Right.
She's like, I see you.
It's like, hey, shy girl, no, don't. It's just like, oh, thank you, you see me.
And then immediately gets distracted by somebody else and she's gone. Did we see that? Because I saw it.
Yeah, she's just poof.
She's
just
gone.
So like,
and
you know.
Kid that is just stressed.
He keeps talking about how he's going to explode, and Buffy's like, you know, tells one of his friends to give him a foot rub because he needs to relax, and they're like, what?
Rubbing his feet? And then this is the episode where Robin gets hit with a rock. I thought it was last episode. It's this episode.
Right.
He gets hit with a rock on the way in, and Buffy, kind of adoringly, like, they really were trying to put these
two
together.
They were trying.
But the whole fandom was just like, nah.
Now's not the time. We're not going to do this. We're not going to do this
after
with you.
After 7 seasons, I don't have the time to get used to. Bad things happen when, just give her a vampire.
Right. Like, so seriously, like the show is ending. We don't need Buffy to walk off into the sunset with true love. Just let it go. Let it fucking go.
Let it go.
But they did, I mean, but we'll come to see later on episodes, they do not waste his chocolate drop goodness.
Much better.
So, apparently Buffy is telling Robin that, you know, the Hellmouth has a way of making things happen that when people feel like things are happening, that are actually happening, or, you know, like how you feel like you're invisible and you turn invisible, or, you know.
I feel like these are conversations they should have had the second they found out about each other.
Yeah, the second the veil was like, oh, great.
Yeah.
By the way, this is how the Hellmouth works.
Right. Let me lay it all out. We are at ground zero. This place is fucked up.
I need you eyes and ears on all times. Yeah. Don't trust anything.
I've already buried one student or ex-student. There's a couple teachers missing, probably.
Right, yeah. Lord knows. Yeah, how many teachers just go randomly missing?
Tenure at Sunnydale. Good luck with that.
So, but, yes, so we come back and Andrew is interviewing Dawn, but we never really get to it. Which,
no, but it's so sweet.
Yeah, he says that she has a smile that lights up a room. And she's like very much appreciative of that compliment. And but then there's a moment where he's like, he gets distracted and he goes, he's like, oh, here's something you want to see. And like Kennedy and Willow are making out on the couch.
He was wrong. We don't want to see that.
But that's not what he was going towards. He like pans right past them with his camera and is like, look at the sash on that window. Like, yeah. He's like admiring Xander's carpentry, basically.
And he goes on a bit for about how talented he is.
Right. And he's like completely ignoring Kennedy and Willow, which is great.
Because I don't like it. I don't like it. We spend too much time. I get that the school is the B storyline in this episode. We spend too much time there. I want to go back to the house. And then he pulls Xander and Anya in for a little sit down. They're just going to have a little chat.
Yeah, that's
little,
all.
A little friendly chat.
And then he turns all Diane Sawyer on him.
Sure did, quick. His whole tone changed, right. His demeanor. So it's been a year since you left Anya at the altar. How you feel about that? Xander rightly so is like, what the hell? And Anya is like, yeah, how do you feel about that 1 year later?
Right.
I can't believe it's been a year.
Like, right.
It seems, I'd still be like, fuck you.
Right.
Every morning, in every, like, why are you still in my face? Just, right. If I come in the room, you should leave.
Right, yeah. Anything he had to say to me, hey, what, fuck off. Mm-hmm. Like die.
Lena Headey. Lena Headey and the other dude from Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
She refused. They're not in any scenes together except for one.
Wow.
Because they had such a bad breakup, she refused to be on set with him at the same time.
Wow.
Yeah. That's how you do it.
Right.
Fuck that dude. And Principal Wood and Buffy. See, we keep going back to the school.
Yeah.
And they're they go down because shit is getting so bad that the kid who didn't get the foot rub.
Literally exploded.
Yep. Right in the hall.
You really should have had that foot rub. So they go down to the basement.
But I feel that should have been a little more serious.
Yeah.
People should have been screaming and running and screaming.
Everybody's, the whole school should have cleared out.
Yes.
At that point. For this several reasons.
Bitch
for
just exploded.
Right. For fear, for right. One, of safety.
Right.
There's now you've got human remains.
Right. All over the school.
Like,
all over his friend.
Right.
She told me she should have had that foot rub.
No, Buffy, this is not time for the jokes. Somebody needs to go call his parents.
Yeah. Yes, because it is sad. They just lost their son.
Right.
And you're quipping. You're making patter jokes.
Not now.
Not now.
Not now, Buffy. So her and Wood go downstairs and they see the seal and then he gets possessed by it for a second and his eyes go all white and he's like, you're screwing that vampire.
God, her whore.
I don't know if we could have recovered from that. Possession or not. Like,
sir, I don't even know you that well. You just call me a whore. I would like to. No. No, and yet she's just like, Robin, are you okay?
So, yeah, you all right? And like, nope. Like,
nope.
Fuck that dude.
Right?
Like, you're on your own.
But then we get my second favorite part of the episode, where it starts off with Spike is just pissed that Andrew is filming him. And it's so cute.
Sawed off!
But then you realize, because Andrew's like, wait, Spike, the light was behind you. Oh. Sorry.
Is this better?
And he starts over again with the so it's a scripted moment.
Right. Spike is running lines.
But this is where they lose me for a minute because the timing of this doesn't make any sense to me. Because if he's in the basement with Spike, filming Spike, how is the camera also filming what's going on with Xander and Anya?
What clears that up is when they show that he's watching it.
Okay.
So I think
so
at
he's
this
just
point,
watching different
yeah.
scenes.
Yeah. So at this point, like him with Spike, he's probably already recorded. The conversation's okay. already happened. So,
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, and then Xander and Anya are trying to figure out where are they in their relationship. And Xander is, you know, Anya makes a comment about he'll never meet anyone, another girl like her.
Right. Which yeah. she's right.
She's right.
She's like, you, sir, are a dime a dozen, but me.
Right. And Andrew is just watching that over and over again.
And like, and miming along with the lines. Like, he's watched it several times because he's like quoting right along with him. Like, he's watching a soap opera that he's like his favorite soap. And I think he gets a little teary.
He does. But then people bust in. I think Buffy and Robin in because shit's just going wonky.
She's like, so now it's time for you to talk, Andrew. Like, you're the one who opened that bitch, that mm-hmm. seal. So now you're going to be, you got the answers. Yeah. You know something. So yeah. Let's figure it out. Huh? Like, not me.
Bitch, you've been wanting to be included this whole time.
Right. Now all of a sudden.
And now you're like the man of the hour. And you're like, nope.
Like, I am a documentarian. Mm-hmm. I'm a journalist. I do not participate. But and while this is going on, there's some random students gathering around the seal.
Yeah, but they're all normal here. Okay? Mm-hmm. They're all normal here. Mm-hmm. When Buffy and them come in the room later, their eyes are all crossed out. Who crossed all their eyes out? That means between right this second and when we see them again, somebody crossed all their eyes
but
out.
But what were they doing, though?
They were trying to open it.
Because nobody's bleeding on it.
Maybe that's what they used. They crossed their eyes out. Like, because now they all look like bringers. Ugh. But when we come back from the commercial break, we get the cutest little flashback of Andrew and Jonathan in Mexico. These two boys are the most precious characters.
They are.
They're and I'm reaching out to Dark Horse right now, mentally. Can you give us a spinoff comic of their time in Mexico?
Yeah.
Just a 6-episode comic, that's all. Just a short little, I love it, because it's a little brief look at what they,
right,
beats you starting from your bottom.
So they're in some like ramshackled one room place in Mexico, and they're sharing a bed, and they're both having the same vision dream.
Yeah.
And they wake up and they're like, what does it mean? You know, blah, blah, blah. We have to look it up in the diccionario tomorrow.
They're so cute.
And so Jonathan decides to go to the bathroom. And while Jonathan's in the bathroom, Warren appears to Andrew. Mm-hmm. I ask him, did he find the knife? Andrew's like, yes. And, you know, he's like, hurry up before the short kid gets back. And he's like, no, he has a shy bladder. And he calls us like, you doing okay in there, Jonathan? He's like,
Leave me alone.
Fine.
Oh, poor Jonathan.
So I was like, stuff like that. Like, they got to know each other so well. So what's happening is Willow has some, air purifier.
Crystal that she's never had. Prior to this episode.
It's like a salt crystal lamp. Like, you know those things that got real popular for a second.
Yeah. This one pisses me off, though, because where'd she get this?
Right. Where'd she get it?
Where'd she get it?
Why haven't we used this before?
Right. When did they look it up and find it and then go find it? Because we used to do all of that.
Right.
At least before we used to have the magic box where mm-hmm. we could say, oh, okay, that came from that book. Oh, Giles right. just so happens to have right. one in the bag.
Like, which, again, was a stretch. That right. was
that
in
was
itself.
A stretch in itself, but at least it was explained.
Yeah, but I stuck with it. This, we don't have a magic store anymore.
Nope.
I don't know what's happened. I don't. So, yeah. So what she's doing is trying to pull these memories that Andrew claims that he cannot remember of where the origin of, like, how he even found out about the seal and how he knew to open it, yada, yada, yada.
What I can't figure out is, can they see all of this?
I don't think so.
Because the way that, like, they're talking, is he only seeing it, or is the crystal projecting that memory to the room?
I would like to say that that's the point of the crystal, is to project it through the room, because that would make sense.
That would make sense.
Right, I would, but this, like, probably not. Like,
probably not.
It's like, that doesn't give me a point. That doesn't give me a reason, doesn't give us any reason for the crystal.
No, not at all.
Because I also don't think that he actually needs, like, there's nothing.
He
doesn't
need help.
No.
He knows these stories. He just doesn't want to tell them.
Right. Like, it's not like he's being hypnotized and it's.
No, he doesn't need the assistance.
No.
He knows what he did. He just doesn't want to face what he did.
Right.
So he keeps telling them the story, and he mentions something while he's retelling it that Warren had told him about,
like, plunge the words deep into his blood. or something like that. And also Warren promised him that they would all live as gods.
And we get to see a glimpse of that.
Of what that looked like.
Yep. Piles of money. They're dressed up like little cherub angels.
We are gods.
Singing.
With harps.
This is our second trivia, is that little song makes it to the post credit with the Ger Arg.
Yeah.
It's not Ger Arg, and it's the We Are His Gods.
Yes. So the knife has words on it. It has some inscriptions going on. And that's what they catch from Jonathan's story. Mm-hmm. Or Andrew's story.
And he still has the knife.
Yes. Like, go through his stuff and get his knife. And he's like, it's not in my stuff. It's in the cutlery. It's in the drawer in the kitchen.
Immediately they're like, ew. You put your murder weapon in with our cutlery?
It's like you didn't have any steak knives. I washed knives. It.
He says he washed it. I mean, that's polite. I mean,
it is. Like, I appreciate you doing that. Yeah. But also, I'm also confused as to how they didn't have any steak knives.
I'm confused Joyce, how no one noticed this wrong right, right. that this knife was in the steak.
Well,
knife.
Maybe just because they've only seemed to eat cereal.
Hot pockets and cereal.
Right. No one's had any reason to cut anything open. So no one needed a knife.
So there's plenty of people standing in this room. I don't know why. They're like, Kennedy, go get it. In hands too. Why do I have to go get it? Because we don't want you here.
Any excuse for you to leave the room.
And they find the knife. And it's a scary looking knife. How did no one notice this was?
It's very apparently
door?
Not a, t-
no,
a kitchen
it is not
utensil.
A steak knife.
I don't even know how you would. Like, it seems like a lot to use to cut steak. So many questions, yep. Andrew. So many questions. Buffy thinks that. All right, so we're going to take Andrew back to the seal, and he's going to, because of these words on the thing, blah, 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 on the knife.
He speaks that language.
Yeah.
Conveniently.
Tawaric.
Which is actually a real-life language.
Is it?
Yeah, I don't know why they said it was like a demon language. Like, it's an actual fucking language.
That's
it's
rude. Yeah, it's like, rude to the people. Yeah.
unless he didn't, I thought he called it a demon. Didn't he?
I thought he did.
Maybe he didn't call it a demon language, but associating it with
yes.
a demonic
yes.
ritual.
Not cool.
It's not cool. You could have just made up a word.
Yeah, like y'all been doing. Right. Y'all been making up
right.
languages for 7 seasons now, and now all of a sudden we want right. to have a foot in reality? Right. Like what?
So they go, they take a little field trip, and from the time that Buffy and Robin left.
Which can't have been longer than 2 hours,
nope,
maybe.
Not longer than 2 hours, I would say. All hell has broken loose at Sunnydale. It looks like it got blown up again.
Yeah, like, it's dark. There's, like, random fires and always a fire in a barrel.
A fire in a barrel and toilet paper.
Never in my life seen a fire in a barrel in real life, but this is how television mm-hmm. lets you know shit has gone down.
Yep, because like, there's fires and barrels.
This is the marker of, like, hell is broken.
And yet,
there's graffiti all over the wall.
Still filming.
Yeah. It will not stop.
And at one point, when they are all fighting, I'm like, Andrew, stop. Because you're going to get Robin convicted of a crime. You're all going to go free, but Robin's going to get convicted of a crime. Please stop filming this. And they end up getting separated.
Yeah.
Robin and Spike have to keep fighting off students, which, please, don't kill them. They are still students.
She keeps asking him about the story, about what happened.
It's so uncomfortable.
It is. And he keeps changing it slightly. Like he tells her that, okay, so I went down to the basement with Jonathan at the seal, and then Warren was there, but Jonathan couldn't see him. Warren just kept talking to me. And so finally I did it.
Which I think is the actual truth.
Right.
The first version of this story he tells, I think, is the actual truth.
Right.
And then Buffy's like, yeah, Spike talked about how the first would get in people's brains and make them do things.
Right. And then she references how she just saw it happen to Robin.
And so Andrew's like,
yeah, that's the ticket. And then so he switches up real quick and then makes it seem like, okay, then his eyes go white in his retelling of the story and that he was possessed when he stabbed Jonathan.
And so she's like, wait a minute.
You're lying ass.
You just completely changed your story. He's like, huh? No, I didn't.
No, ma'am.
Nope. That's what happened.
I promise.
And then it becomes very clear that Buffy has a different agenda.
Which, yeah.
And when I first saw this, I wasn't quite sure what it was. I think I was just as sure as Andrew was that she was about to kill him.
Yes. So she snatches him up basically and starts to tell him that, well, turns out, you know, it's like Willow did some research. Turns out it's the blood of the person who opened the seal in the first place that's going to close it. And he's like, I beg your pardon.
What now?
I'm suddenly very aware that we're alone down here.
Yeah. I don't want to. He's very upset.
Yes. And Buffy just like, well, and also just like quick side note, we flashback, Andrew or Xander and Anya have one last go around.
Yeah.
And they both decide that it's like, yeah, this is the last one.
It's actually kind of, it's a sweet moment because, but it's a confusing moment because they're both hopeful in this conversation. Yeah. Like, but then they decide not to.
I think as they vote, they're hope, they, maybe they were hopeful going into it. Mm-hmm. And then they're just like, you know what? You're, this is it. Yeah, it's gone.
Too bad it's not one last time.
Right. Which is like, that was it. That was the moment. Mm-hmm. It has passed. Which, yeah.
Yeah,
which
just let it go.
Yeah, just like, I don't understand how Anya could
have. I don't even know why you would go back to
that. There's just no way. It's like, literally, like, seriously, it would have been like, fuck you. Hi, yeah. How are you? Fuck you.
Fuck you.
Can you pass me the dye?
Would you like a glass of fuck you? That's all I got for you. I have nothing else for you.
So basically, Buffy just kind of humiliates and berates Andrew.
It's really upsetting.
Scares him and just like, you know, just reads him to filth, basically. Yeah. It's like, you killed your friends, you wanted to do this, and you thought you're just a blah, blah, blah.
And he's like, no, Warren said we would get to do all of this. Warren, it was, and she's was like, no, stop lying. Right.
You're
like,
being a bitch. Yeah. Stop it. And,
oh, it's so
and then she's got him, like, leaned over, like, she's snatched and, like, she's got the knife. And he finally is just like hits him. He's like, you're right. I'm sorry. I knew it wasn't Warren. I just wanted to pretend that it was so that I could do this and blah, 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 and this, that, and the other. And he starts to cry.
I killed my friend.
And it turns out it was the tears of the person who opened the seal that the seal needed to close.
And that's the saddest part is that he makes this realization that he killed his friend.
Mm-hmm.
And he's about to die, and he's afraid.
Yeah.
Not that, it's not even about his redemption anymore. It's more, he's scared.
Yeah.
He's just scared. And how did Tom, like, not win a guest Emmy for this episode?
He should have.
He really should have, because he went from, he showed you all the ranges of emotions.
Yeah.
Except maybe anger.
Yeah, I don't think we ever really got to see him.
Because I don't know that he can get angry, that Andrew gets angry. But in this one episode, he packs so much in.
Yeah.
And then we go from this, we get this little side scene with Robin and Spike fighting students in the hallway.
Together.
And a chair leg or something gets broken, and Robin picks it up. And 100% was gonna kill Spike
absolutely.
In this hallway.
Absolutely.
He was going for the strike, and he got tackled by another student.
Yep. Yep.
And I don't, does Spike even realize it? Like, he ends up seeing the stake, right? Does
I think so.
And it's like, what the fuck?
It's like, wait a minute.
Were you? And that would have been dirty. That would have been some dirty shit.
Right.
Like, yes, I mean, Robin, I get it. He killed your mom. Like, how do you walk around with the dude that killed your mom? I don't know.
No.
I would have been like, you know what?
It happened. One of these students got him.
I got to get out of here. Because as much as I want to help you, he killed my mom.
Yeah.
And I know he's important to you. He's important to this cause.
Right.
But I'm going to kill him. I'm going to keep trying to kill him.
At any
every
moment.
Every opportunity I get. Yes. I'm going to walk in the room and try and kill him.
Right.
I'm not even going to mean it.
Yeah, that's a hard thing to let go.
Right.
Especially when he was so young, so very young when he lost her.
Right. And you're wearing her fucking coat. To this day, you're walking around wearing my mother's coat in my face.
Right. You're not going to keep playing in my face like this.
Right. You took my coat, my mom's coat, off her dead body. And you're walking around with it.
This is true. I don't understand how he's managed to play this long game for so long. Because he's like, what, maybe it's like a couple weeks?
Yeah.
Of him knowing fully that that's who Spike is? That,
no, there's no way. There's no way.
Because I would have had a hard time going to bed that night. Uh-huh. I would have been immediately just walking right on over to Buffy's.
Yep. Sorry. I forgot something.
Doink. Okay. See it work tomorrow?
Yeah. He somehow manages to keep going. He gets distracted. Well, I mean, in the very next episode, things go really bad. Really, really bad. And he tries to shoot his shot and goes real, real bad.
It's just like...
really, really bad. It's yeah, a bad it's
just,
plan.
It's just like so elaborate. Like
it's such a bad plan.
It's like, did you... Okay, well, yeah, but we'll get to that next episode. So this one, you know, the seal is now closed and the students are no longer possessed.
But do they still have no eyes?
Because we never see those kids again.
Like, their eyes were gone.
We never see those kids again.
Did they push them in the hole before?
I don't even know if the thing actually fully opened.
She was fighting
them
when they were, maybe they ran, but they had crossed out eyes.
We do not know what happened to the kids with the crossed out eyes. No. They just conveniently disappear. Mm-hmm. But yeah, and so Andrew is now, after all of this realization and, you know, him being honest with himself and Buffy.
He is now the CEO and founder of BetterHelp.com, where you get your issues worked out.
Yeah, because we go, he tries to go back and, you know, record some more stuff in the bathroom, but it just...
You can't.
He just, like, the gravity of what he has done, his honesty, as well as, like, and his honesty of, like, what... The situation that they're in right now is like, okay, this is real. Yeah. And I'm feeling a little some kind of way. Like, yeah. He's very deflated now. He's like, all right, I can't anymore.
And then it just kind of ends. Like, this yeah, is, it just kind of ends. Like, it's such
he
a...
He shuts off his camera and then goes dark.
Yeah. Just, I'm like, no, bring back the happy.
Yeah.
This episode starts so happy and then it's just...
Yeah. Right.
And then you're left feeling kind of...
It's a lot to think about.
It is. And then there's another little trivia for you that in a comic down the line, he brings out the video camera again, apparently.
Oh, well, that was going to say.
And it has another storytelling line.
Oh, I thought it was going to, like, bring out the tape and show somebody. No,
I think he uses it again.
Which, nah, yeah, he couldn't because he didn't, like, pack a bag when Sunnydale went into the hole. Yeah.
Maybe he did. The camera could be on the bus.
Maybe.
He could have packed a little bag. They might have had things packed for weeks.
Maybe. So that is storyteller.
It's a great episode.
It is. It's so good.
Mm-hmm. But there's so much trivia in this episode, too. Like, there's a part where Andrew doesn't want to talk, and they're trying to get him to talk. And he's like, can I just have a refreshing Zima?
Yes!
And Buffy's like, no Zima.
I think Spike even says something like,
shut it about the Zima. And I'm like, why are they talking about Zima so much? Turns out, Jane Espenson came up with the word Zima when she worked for a marketing company back
really?
In the day. Yeah. That's insane.
Wow.
Yeah. And I love that. I thought that
That's
was
amazing.
Just insane. There is... no music? Was there any other trivia?
Yeah, you've got something here about a deleted scene where Kennedy is interviewed.
Oh, yeah, where Kennedy berates Buffy a bunch.
Yeah.
I think that's funny because to me, it seems like they didn't need to give the audience another reason to hate Kennedy.
Right.
So that's probably, they were probably like, you know what?
This is too much.
They already don't like her.
This will send them over the edge.
Uh-huh. Have her bitching about Buffy even more.
Yeah.
Like, no. No, let's just take it out. And good call.
Yeah.
Good call, writers. You did good on that one.
Because I am hell-bent on the whole... Know your place, Kennedy.
She's like, this worst.
That is my whole... That is a song that I will sing forever.
Yeah. She's the absolute worst. This season, on a whole, is definitely not one of my favorites. It never will be.
No.
It's got gems of storylines here and there. It's the least... For a season that has one big arc, you know, it's the least cohesive of all of the seasons.
And it's all of the potentials, I think, is what really just kind of muck it up a bit.
Yeah.
Because I don't think we ever, like, really settle in on a tone.
Mm-mm.
Like, yes, it has the one giant arc, the one giant plot that's happening. And that's all we really are supposedly focused on other than, you know, Robin and Spike. And that's only for, like, a very small window.
Right.
Like, we've got so many new characters.
Too many.
That it's just like, I just can't catch a footing here.
And they don't give you the opportunity to get to know them well enough to care about them.
Right.
They're fodder. They're
right.
Just cannon fodder. Like, if they get killed, oh, well.
Yeah, it's just like, all right, well,
right.
Move on to the next.
Who cares? We don't even know that one's name. And it's the weirdest thing about this season. It does get me when they bring Faith.
Yeah.
There's a like three episodes where it's just like.
It's an absolute hoot and holler. It's like, yes. Yeah.
Although the two episodes of Angel preceding when Faith comes to town, probably hands down best thing that is ever. There is ever.
Yeah, dude. It's good stuff. It's so good.
Because I love Fool for Love, but I think Angelus, those two episodes where Faith breaks out of jail.
Yeah.
It's like, woo. So
and
good.
And that's another that we're when we get into Angel, that we're going to also get that episode where she's torturing Wesley.
Wesley, which is also, you know, a lot of people sleep on Angel.
Yeah, man.
And
I don't.
If we did a TKO boxer challenge side by side, I think Angel might come on out on top.
I think so. I think you're right. Because, I mean.
Anytime Spike is there, it's gold. The big fluffy puppy with the bad teeth. The storylines are more grown up.
Yes.
And
There is some humor there, but it's not a lot of the over the top. Like some of the humor in Buffy could be a little cartoony.
And there's no fuckboy. There's no Xander.
Right.
Even like, I wouldn't even call Wesley he's just a sweetie pie. And then we get to Gunn and he's just a cuddly, like.
God bless him.
He's wonderful. Everyone on Angel is great.
Yes.
Even Doyle. Like.
Yeah.
That fucked me up.
Yeah.
Pretty hard. That was, don't sleep on Angel.
Yeah, man. Great. We'll talk about it.
But yeah, that's Storyteller. We love it. But next time is Lies My Parents Told Me. And we kind of love that one, too, because we get to see more of Robin's backstory.
Yeah.
We get to find out more about Spike's backstory, which turns out to be real
upsetting.
Real upsetting.
It does.
And it explains
very
so
entertaining.
Much.
The whole episode, very entertaining.
So entertaining. But that's next time.
Yep, we will get into that next time. Until then, like the moral of this story is let Tom Lenk narrate your life.
Yes, let him narrate your life. Just think about it. How great would that be?
That would be amazing.
Gentle viewers.
And also, I mean, you know, also think about when someone's telling you a story about themselves. Just there's, what is it? There's always three sides to the story. Yes. Mine, yours, and the truth.
Yep. So. Absolutely.
So you can tell us your thoughts on Storyteller by just reaching out to us via social media or sending us videos or MP3s or just love letters.
Yes.
In our email box. Show love letters. Appreciation letters.
Yeah.
Revisiting Sunnydale at gmail.com. Yeah, that's pretty much it.
Yeah. Till next time.
Yay.